Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 138.
Yeah.
That's a lot of episodes.
It is.
If you think about it.
It's halfway to 276.
That's exactly what everyone listening, I'm sure, was saying, like, oh, my God.
Are they ever going to get to 276?
Halfway to 276.
Yeah, finally.
Oh. That's a lot of movies.
It is. It's
138 times three, you would estimate.
That's 400 and...
And seven.
No. No. We're going to do that right now.
So we got a lot to talk about today.
Mm-hmm.
We do, and so
414.
You're not even facing. You're not even facing the right way right now. You're just scribbling on a pencil. You're like working on a shopping list.
I am working on a shopping list. So we're a third of the way to 414 episodes. That's what I wanted to figure out.
Wow,
we're halfway to 276, and we got a third to 414.
We're gonna make it.
Oh,
we're gonna make it.
Did you ever do like? Remember on Siskel and Ebert, sometimes there were no releases that week, so they would just do like, hey, the best movies with guys drooling. I know they didn't do that, but you know what I'm saying?
Patch Adams.
Patch Adams is the best drooling movie.
Actually, you have the option of not doing a podcast if you didn't see movies or there were no movies out.
We do one. You know what we do?
We do either a themed episode or we have do interviews.
Yeah, we'll just do straight interviews.
I see.
But this is one of my favorite times of the year because it's all the Oscar contenders are coming out.
It's great. And that's the one great thing about living in L.A. or New York. They sneak them into the movie theaters so you can actually go and
there's
see
so many.
Them.
And yeah. They sneak them in.
To qualify for Academy Award
nominations. Just put in like one or two theaters.
It's a couple
LA.
Of theaters in New York or LA for a couple of screenings, and then they're qualified
a lot of these
for the
movies
year.
Won't get released.
They won't release for a couple months.
Yeah, until January, February, sometimes.
I'm sorry,
Fred.
I got airplane mode. I shut it off. All right, well, I'll do airplane mode.
Let's go airplane mode.
Okay.
Because it might introduce our guest.
I think we already have. Ladies and gentlemen, back on the program, Mr. Fred Stoller.
Thank you so much. My version of airplane mode is I don't know how to do the airplane mode. Thank you for having me.
Sure.
It's my favorite time of the year because I'm fortunate to be in the Writers Guild, and I get screeners and free movies. So it's like when I did stand-up. Like, you know, what I loved is, hey, I'm going to a city I never would go to.
Yeah.
Baltimore. Then you go, and that's the same thing with free movies. These are movies I would never see.
Right.
So why not see them? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's awesome. And you get to see, oh, shit, I forgot to turn off the mail program.
That's how I discovered, like...
It's like when I did a guest star in a sitcom, I always wanted the regulars to flub first. Then the guest can flub, you know? It's, you know, so he flubbed. Sorry. The free movies, I'm sounding annoying. There was one free movie, a screen I couldn't get through. Not Diary of a Wimpy Kid. What is? I'm like my mother. I can't. I'm rounding out titles. Something.
Twilight.
No. Something where it was this hipster angst and the kid didn't fit in, but he had good looking parents.
Oh, any
nice.
Indie movie from 1994?
No, this year. Dylan McDermott was the father. Who is this? Or maybe not. A nice father. Well, oh, man, I hope I'm not having early Alzheimer's. I can't think of titles.
Was it really a screener or a dream?
No, this year.
Perks of being a wallflower.
Yes. I couldn't get 10 minutes. I was going, the guy's going to have someone helping him, and he's nice parents. I don't know. Did you love it? Did I miss something?
I
haven't seen it yet.
All right.
It looks very much like a teen angst movie.
Yeah, hipster angst.
Yeah,
yes.
Hipster angst where you just eventually go, you're a rich kid.
Yes.
I don't want to hear it. You
exactly.
know what I mean? There's kids whose parents got executed, so they had to join a rebel army in some horrifying war-torn country.
He's just in the suburbs. And
yeah.
He had a little social anxiety. I have it every second of my life still. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot what brought that up. But, yeah, some screeners I can't get through. Okay.
Mm-hmm. But we should do some announcements. We get right into it. What do you want to do?
Let's reform it. Let's freestyle it. What announcements do we have to make?
We want to announce, this is very exciting, and this is directly related to you guys, is because we finally have the Men in Suits DVD available in the store, and it was because of you guys that it got funded so quickly, because when Frank and Doug were in here promoting the movie in the Kickstarter campaign. In less than 24 hours after our episode dropped, the entire thing funded. And at 24 hours after that, it went over by a couple $1,000s.
You guys
because
are helping,
of you guys.
You guys helped fund an independent film,
yeah.
which is great. And that was a really interesting episode because, you know, Doug talking about, I didn't know all about that.
Oh, suit work acting. Unbelievable. It was really cool.
It was really cool. So, you know, you guys helped fund it. We have DVDs here.
So now we have the DVDs. So you'll either get your Kickstarter reward, but if you didn't do the Kickstarter campaign, you can now buy them from the store, and it's a great documentary, and it's really interesting to see all the thing those guys go through and suit work.
That's such
if I'm good, could I come back for if I have a Kickstarter thing? I'm
well,
serious.
We already had you back now, right. So let's not push it, Fred. You know what I mean?
We'll see how the next 38 minutes go.
Right. Let's see how this goes. All right. You're already taking out Dylan McDermott. You know, he's a friend, so that's we're already in hot water.
No, I'm saying he's the dream father.
He's the dream father. But anyway, you guys, that's really... Chris and I were just talking right before this episode. I was like, you know...
About quitting
everything, life. Because I was in Australia, and I'm like, I'm going to just move there and live in some sort of surf Australian ashram and just...
Right, run by kangaroos
and finally figure out why people like Vegemite. I'm going to figure that out. But it was... I was like, we got to make more movies, dude. Like, I like watching them and talking about them, but we want to make...
Well, next year, I think that'll be on our goals.
We're
going to
make
list.
A movie.
Plus, my horror movie will be out next
year,
too.
Your horror movie out. Like, we're going to raise some money and make a movie. So
that's on the goals for next year.
That's on the goals. Enough bullshit.
It's been 138 episodes.
Yeah, cut the crap.
So let's... I want to talk about this. This is Killing Me Softly because you got a chance to see it. And it put you into a spiraling depression from what you were saying.
Did I say?
I don't need movies for that. I don't need help.
It was, you know, everything that Mike Schmidt said about it, I would agree. It's a really good movie. And I don't understand why. I get why it might not do well box office wise because it's not this.
Oh, you know what the marketing campaign was?
I'm sorry.
This is the Brad Pitt Hitman movie.
And that's exactly how.
A depressing movie?
Oh, kind of.
It's not like a gritty Tarantino thing, it looks
like. No, it's not a gritty Tarantino thing.
And that's literally how it was promoted. Yeah. It's like, that's one of the problems. The marketing campaign is Brad Pitt is a hitman. That's it. You know nothing about the movie.
Yeah. And
you know nothing about the movie, nothing about the story. Yeah.
You think you're going to watch like a Guy Ritchie movie or something like that. And it isn't. It's this really sort of dark look.
Yeah, like 29 grams or something, whatever that was. Dark.
That was the sequel to 28 grams?
No, my mother again.
As Fred sorts out his mother issues, I'm going to, you know, it shows you all the people that live in that world, and you have sympathy for them because it shows them as very human. And yet they're people in a horrible world of crime and drugs and killing people. And you see the humanity of people who are in that world, if that's even possible. And it is. And visually it's,
well, that's what Sopranos did.
Yeah. That's what Sopranos did. I mean, that's like visually, and yet they're still psychopaths, you know? And visually, man, it's amazing. There's a scene in there where Brad Pitt takes a guy out, and it's like they do it in slow motion, but it shows you like every time someone gets beaten up or killed, it's very graphic and it's loud. Like it isn't soft. You know what I mean?
Unlike the title.
Exactly, man. Which was clearly a choice by the director and the director who we talked about. Who's done, you know, Chopper and the assassination of Jesse James by the coward, whatever, blah blah blah.
Robert Ford,
Bobby Ford. I just say it's worth seeing, and I understand why it hasn't done well box office wise because of the marketing and everything, and everyone just wanted to see like a darker Ocean's 11 or something like that is what they were kind of hoping for. I don't understand why a lot of critics haven't gotten on board with this film. Like some critics are like, meh. And I don't get it. It's there's one solid one-on-one acting scene after another between all these really good actors, Brad Pitt and Richard Jenkins, Brad Pitt and James Gandolfini, like all these really good.
So you're endorsing this.
It's a great movie.
It depressed.
It didn't depress me.
I'm sorry.
Chris was just running his dumb mouth.
Oh. Yeah. I'll do that again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Within the next 40 minutes.
I look forward to this.
It's an excellent. It's an exercise in first rate acting.
But it is a depressing movie, like what Mike had said.
Isn't Mike Schmidt a baseball player?
Yeah, and also a comedian. He actually had to change his website to Mike Schmidt Comedy because of that.
It's not the same Mike Schmidt.
Yeah, but different guy.
I still like to know what the baseball guy thinks of.
Yeah, we're going to get him on the show and see what his Oscar picks are. Yeah. Probably just that Clint Eastwood pitching movie with his daughter or whatever. The Amy Adams pitching movie. This is the Alzheimer's.
Amy Adams, Clint Eastwood pitching movie.
Yeah, that's what. This is an Alzheimer's episode.
Oh, is that, yeah, that Clint Eastwood movie where he was in the Old West and he shot a gun? That
yeah,
one?
Yeah, Gunnerson.
Gunny Gunnerson.
Gunny Gun Times. Throwing the curve or whatever, hanging the curveball. What's that movie? It's not like we're a movie review website.
A Fistful of $1 Million Babies.
Any Which Way But Fastballs?
Kicking the Chair.
Grand Torino Goes to the Ballpark. Yeah.
Well, regardless.
Trouble with the Curve. Yeah. That's the movie I'm speaking
I'm
of.
Trying to. I'm really looking forward to this movie after hearing what you and Mike had said. And I'm hoping it kind of finds a life, maybe at least on DVD or something, or critics finally get on board with it, or word
about,
of mouth.
We talked
something.
About, you know.
Is it like The Mechanic?
It's kind of like, it's like the movie Narc, which we talked about on the last episode, which is a great, it's, and that was one of those movies that was amazing that just got a limited release. It couldn't find anything, but anyone that watches it on DVD goes, man, that
was amazing.
Awesome.
They didn't have enough money to finish it. I mean, the actors worked for free just to finish the movie.
And Ray Liotta, I mean, everyone in it is great. I mean, everyone in it is
great.
Who
is the guy, not Jason Patrick? The
in
guy
what?
In Narc.
Yeah, it was Jason Patrick.
Yeah, Jason Patrick.
Oh, he was
Patrick.
In another dark movie with Greg Allman, I think, from 92.
Oh, yeah, the drug movie.
Yeah, that was really
with
good.
With Sam Elliott. Why are we blanking on the name of all of these movies?
Wow.
This is seniors at retirement.
Your dementia is like a
there's that movie with that thing.
But it's funny, when you talk to certain people, they know what you're talking about. That thing with the hat and the guy slipped. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the banana movie.
Yeah. People, they can figure it out. But yeah, that movie with Jason Patrick, I like.
So that's another unfortunate, it's almost like a casualty of poor marketing. I mean, if this movie had really good marketing and you knew kind of what it was about, it probably would find a larger audience.
Yeah.
You're talking about Rush,
About Rush. Yeah. That's the Jason Patrick movie, by the way, where he goes undercover as a drug addict with Jennifer Jason
Leigh.
I
love this dark kind.
Boy, I wish they would have played that theme song more on the radio when that movie came out.
I'm telling you, though, Killing Me Softly is in this category of Rush and Narc in terms
I'm
of just a dark
that,
crime movie that just didn't do... I don't know why they marketed it this way. I guess they just went Brad Pitt guns.
Yeah, now we can now we can sell it. We don't need a marketing campaign.
But you know,
you got to tell people what the movie is about.
But Drive is what I was talking about is a higher amp movie of that. It's dark and noirish, but it did well, I guess, because of Ryan Gosling and car chases. But it has that gritty, you know.
I don't. Well, the thing is, they marketed Drive correctly. Mm-hmm. I just think they so dropped the ball on the marketing of Killing
Drive. Himself. You knew what that movie was about going in.
But it had that dark, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, I watched the trailer, and when Brad Pitt is talking about, you know, the title, he's like, I like to get up close, you know, and I like to kill him softly or kill him from a distance or whatever he says, you know. Like, that, to me, I was like, oh, we're going to get inside the mind of this.
Is it almost Shakespearean a little bit?
Yes.
Let me ask you a question. Has Brad Pitt played really gritty dark guys before, like killers? He's always, you know, a slick, pretty boy.
No, he hasn't always done the slick, pretty boy thing. Like, you know.
He's got a range. He's gone back and forth.
He's got a real good range.
Was he really dark?
You know.
Fight Club to Legends of the Fall is quite a
Yeah, I mean,
range.
Snatch is, well, either as a Guy Ritchie comedy, he's a dark.
You're going to make me say Cool World again?
No. Don't say that's your only Brad Pitt movie that you know. This is really a senior center. I loved Cool World with the animated girls. But yeah, I
Tree of Life.
Is
didn't see that.
I recommend this movie, man.
And I
And go back to the last episode and listen to what Mike Schmidt had to say about it as well. Like, it's a really good one.
Okay, let's get to the next one. Now, this movie, I have not had a chance to see yet, but I do really want to see. But you guys both saw it. So Life of Pi, let's talk about that.
Fred, what'd you think of this?
Wow. You know, again, I'm dwelling on middle age, but I was just talking to someone. You get to a point where someone like me is jaded or I'm not impressionable, where movies blow me away. You know, they don't, but this one... It's good because not to do TMI, you know, some
no spoiler
antidepressants. You go, am I numb? Because when I had an incident where I needed stuff, and I'd see movies, and I go, am I numb or did the movie suck? Because you can't tell, you know, if I'm just numb. This movie was wow, blew me away. It just you saw it, you didn't.
I
don't
want to
spoil anything, but. You want to see it again because you learn something, and then you know and you go, "Oh, well, I want to see it." But I didn't even know it was 3D. I was sitting there, it looked blurry. No, but I saw the I saw the non-3D version, and I'm not a 3D fan, but I go, "Okay, I could see why." Did you see the 3D version?
I saw the 2D version because I don't like 3D, but this is a movie I agree, like I really liked it. And I would like to see it again for the reason you're talking about. And
I heard it was like Hugo, where the 3D is really well done.
You know something? Sorry to interrupt. Hugo is a movie where I go, whoa, this is an awesome dream. And then I go, no, it didn't stay with me. This
stayed with me. And I would like to see it now in 3D again. Because it visually was so amazing in 2D, I'm like, I bet you in 3D this is great. Because it visually is... It's going to win some Oscars for that stuff, for sure. And the story, I mean, obviously it's based on a book. I really like the movie a lot.
It's my favorite so far this year.
And again,
I'm not one of these guys into like, you know.
When I first heard about it, I thought, well, this sounds really dumb. And then when you start learning more and more about it, I'm like, oh, this, I want to see this now.
Again, I love story. I know you guys like me love the 70s, like Scarecrow or Pacino kind of stuff. So I'm usually not into that big spectacle, but this kept the story and just the, again, yeah.
You make a great point. And this is something we've talked about a lot on this show, which is I think we're all sort of tired of a movie with shitty story, but and people always go, yeah, but it looked cool.
Yeah, the effects were good.
The effects were cool. I don't care anymore. This had both the amazing effects and a great story, and really well written and well told. And Ang Lee, you know,
and then there's the guy.
He's a good director.
Again, I don't want to give away, but
the kid that
both of them, soulness, the serenity of the his life and. Again, it was one of those movies where, again, I think at my age, movies at best, all right, that was cool, that was good, and this is, I forget what it's like to be blown away by a movie.
You know, and in looking at this list and thinking about it, you know, this is going to be, in my opinion, a really strong Oscar year, because we've had Cloud Atlas, we've had Flight, Argo, Life of Pi.
I think we'll get
to hear my bad joke.
I think we'll get to 10 this year.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You want to get in my bad joke, but maybe it's not bad. It'd be funny if in Argo they finally get on the plane and it's Denzel as a drunk. They fight it. They get
we
on
got
the plane,
it. We got it.
And then they're upside down.
Yeah.
You know.
It honestly though, there's a lot of really good movies, and we still have more coming out.
Yeah, yeah.
We still have all Dark 30.
Yeah, that looks really good. So Life of Pi is definitely worth seeing.
And cool. I'm looking forward to it. I haven't seen it yet. I'll probably check it out this weekend.
Yeah, definitely will see it.
See it, and I haven't seen it in 3D yet, but my guess is you should see it in 3D like Hugo.
Right.
That's my guess.
That's what I was rating.
So which I said, I hate 3D. So if I'm saying that, it's got to be good. All right. So cool.
I saw Deadfall, and this was that we talked about last week. The previews. It was the Eric Bana, Olivia Wilde kind of heist gone awry little movie that was kind of like a little noir in a small town, you know, covered in snow kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it was a really interesting movie. It was better than I thought it would be. And it was that kind of thing where you take pretty much a script that's basically a kind of B-level, kind of noir, twisty thriller kind of thing, and then you put A-list actors in it, and it elevates the entire piece to another level. Because you've got Eric Bana, Olivia Wilde, the guy from Sons of Anarchy, I think Charlie Hunnam, I think
is
his name.
The
Chris Christopherson, Sissy Spacek, and Treat Williams are all in this movie.
God, Treat Williams. And, he is so underrated.
And they do an amazing job. The thing I liked about it, too, is all these characters had a couple nuances to them. It's not like, oh, here's the killer, and you know, here's the femme fatale, and here's you know the
is
boxer that's down on his luck.
DVD?
It's in theaters right now. It's also on demand.
Okay.
And so what happened was it's almost like an ensemble piece where all these kind of little pieces start off. Great opening to a movie, too. It really starts great, and it grabs you. And then, you know, all of the pieces kind of come together as the characters meet and people die, obviously, since it's a thriller. And what I liked is the nuances of the characters. Is Eric Bana a cold-blooded killer? Yeah, but there's some history and there's some backstory to him. As you know, his sister Olivia Wilde, what's her story? Chris Christopherson, Sissy Spacek, and Treat Williams. Now, where it kind of drops a little bit is that you have all these pieces kind of set up, and then the movie meanders a little bit before it actually gets to the climax. You're like, come on, you set all these piece things in motion. Why are they still at a diner? You know, things like that. Like, come on, get to the end. This is padding.
It's like one of those things to do in Denver when you're dead, kind of gritty-ish movie.
It's definitely like that. Yeah, yeah. But with more characters and more things kind of going on. Treat Williams was also in that movie.
Yeah.
And so the way everything kind of came together, it was, you know, a small town and, you know, in northern U.S., everything's covered in snow constantly. And although I don't know how cold it was because it didn't quite see the frosty breath from everybody. So I'm like, I don't know if it was snowing the entire time. But that almost became a character, the weather, because it was not quite Swedish, but that close, kind of like, all right, it's a blizzard and he can't get here and he can't get here. And so overall, it was a good movie. It had some missteps. One of the things where it meanders in the middle before the finale. And then there's a couple lines in the movie where you go, really? You typed that and didn't delete? You just left that in the script? Like, there's a couple things where you just go, somebody either put that in or they forgot to change it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and this is not a spoiler by any means, but like one time where he, you know, Eric Bana has to steal a snowmobile. He needs to get going. There's nowhere to go. And there's an Indian on the snowmobile. And so he attacks the Indian. But the Indian gets up and fights him off and said, you know, he had like a vision that he was coming. You know, I'm like, no, now we're doing all this weird supernatural vision stuff in this heist gone awry movie. And so I'm like, you don't need, you know, to make it a little more complicated than that. Just do the fight over the snowmobile. That's all you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked the little nuances that they put in the characters. They didn't just really black and white everybody, which is actually the sign of a really good noir. Mm-hmm. Is if you make actual characters that, for whatever their motivations are, where they have no choice or they choose to do what they do and you understand why. So it really kind of has its feet both in like classic noir, which I really liked. It just, like I said, it had some really weird missteps with some pacing in the middle and also from some character dialogue and a couple actions that really didn't kind of fit with the rest of the movie. But overall, it was...
You'd recommend it.
I would recommend it. It's better than I thought it would be. It was the kind of those... It was shot well. It was acted really well.
How's Olivia Wilde in it?
Olivia Wilde is really good. It's showing that she's not really just like a pretty face from some of these other movies like Tron or whatever. She actually has some chops. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. So she... and, you know, she's real. Obviously, it's difficult to look at her and think, well, there's no way you can pretty her down.
Right.
You can't ugly her up. There's just, it can't be done.
Right.
But what they did instead, which was kind of cool, is they made her like a little more, she's really pretty, but she's a little more vulnerable, a little more femme fatale, kind of, you know, fucked up. Like, you don't, I don't know if I should trust her.
They have a movie like Monster Ball where someone beautiful like Halle Berry's in a small town alone. I never buy it. People go, you're beautiful. Go to L.A.
Yeah.
Well, you know, some rich guy would take care of her, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, what are you doing here, you know?
Yeah, yeah. She definitely stood out. And But they you know, they were aware of that, so they kind of they worked that in a little bit. And Eric Bana plays a great psychopath. He really, really did a nice job. And they all did. I mean, there was not a bad actor in the bunch, and no one put in a bad performance. Everyone, that was one of the strengths of this movie, were the performances and also the character nuances. Like I said, it's good. It just had a couple flaws here and there, but ultimately I would definitely recommend it. It's a great DVD movie, or, you know, if you see it on a plane, which you won't. This is not the kind of movie you'll see on a plane, but that kind of movie. So I enjoyed it. It's not perfect, but it's definitely for a cool, like, indie noir with A-level actors. It's good.
I want to say real quick, Treat Williams is, you should check out, it's one of my favorite movies. It's directed by Sidney Lumet. It came out in 1981, which is Prince of the City.
I did a guest spot with him, and I was so excited, talking about being impressionable, because I love the movie Hair.
Mm-hmm.
Love that movie. And he was just telling me old stories, and yeah, so I...
Was he a cool guy?
Coolest guy. He was going, who do you have crushes on? What actresses? Yeah. I work with a Jenny Agutter or whatever. Yeah, and she's great. And he was like, it was funny because, you know, he was on Time Magazine a long time ago with William Hurt and Elizabeth McGovern, the new actors, and he was... really going to be up there. And then, you know, he had...
You have no trouble remembering a Time Magazine cover.
Well, I have a book coming out, and I actually, and that's referenced.
So he had a drug problem? Is that what happened?
He admitted he did party stuff. He, you know, the 80s or whatever. And he had a fall. And it was funny because I work with him on the show Good Advice with Shelley Long. He goes, well, what do you want to do? Well, I'd like to be in movies. He goes, me too. You know, and then he had a resurgence with Things to Do in Denver, and cool guy. I love the movie Hair, and it was just fun just asking him questions. Mm-hmm. And Prince of the City
is great. I mean, it's Sidney Lumet like at his best. It is an amazing movie. It didn't get the The Dog Day Afternoon, which is also an excellent movie, but for some reason, Prince of the City never got as much acclaim as I think it should have.
Yeah.
But it is a great film. So anyway,
great,
cool.
Well, let's go on another probably Oscar contender, the David O. Russell Silver Linings Playbook, which I saw and Fred, you saw as well.
Yes, I did.
So Fred, what'd you think of that film?
You know, I enjoyed it. I wasn't bored. I'm a little tired of these charming, attractive, bipolar people that are so, you know, yeah, you want to have fun in life, be bipolar and crazy, and they love you.
As long as you're attractive.
Yeah. If you're attractive, it's great. Yeah. So, again, it was sort of like Argo where, oh man, it's going to be the greatest thing. And again, I was satisfied. I want to give things away, but it seemed to be this independent, gritty thing, but then it had kind of formulaic, like the big event at the end, I don't want to say, you know what I mean? So I wasn't, again, it's one of those things, hey, I enjoyed it. Then you leave the theater and go, I don't know if I loved it. You know what I'm saying?
I think
what is Fred trying to say?
I like this movie. I did too go in with high expectations of this film because I love Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper. I like seeing him, you know, not play the hangover guy all the time. So this was good.
Still too charming and adorable, and getting chicks I was resentful. You know, like, hey, if I have depression, no one thinks I'm charming, and you go fuck you, or hey, get out of here, bitch, and she loves him. You know, so I go, do I got to do that?
Well, yeah, there is some stuff.
You know, he's being the asshole, and she still wants him.
Right. Well, they're both really shitty to each other, and you go, would this last? You know, if someone is going to be that mean or awful to someone.
And then it became Dancing with the Stars. You know, I don't want to give it away.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's some moments in there where you go, yeah, these are, you know, he has some serious mental issues he's got to deal with. She's just going through,
trauma
because her husband died. So, and there were some moments in there that the scenes with Robert De Niro, which were good, they could have been
cartoony.
They were close to being cartoony, but because all those actors are good and David O. Russell is an excellent director, they came across as kind of believable. Like, well, there are some families that are a little nuts, and you see where Bradley Cooper comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Like he didn't just come out of
OCD.
Yeah, the OCD and the you know, his dad's got a gambling problem and all this stuff. So I don't know. I felt the same way. Like, I did like it. And I would recommend this movie. And
it's almost what you were saying before, like the A-list actors and the production elevated where it could have.
Right.
If this was in with a less competent director and less competent actors, this would have been like some Gerard Butler wacky, him and Katherine Heigl bumping into each other rom-com, you know, like isn't like or you say,
which one's the bounty hunter?
Yeah, like exactly, like you say, like isn't bipolar wacky and fun?
Yeah, it's and like, they're so free spirited, they're better than the regular people.
Yeah, and it's like, no, this is a horrible way to have to live. You know,
and they were horrible. Yeah, and nothing to do with the movie, but an interesting distraction for me is I heard Sarah Silverman on a podcast saying she was campaigning for it. I go, oh, I guess I could see that. So I was thinking of Sarah Silverman a lot. She wanted to be the Jennifer Lawrence part, and she sent an audition in.
Oh, right. Yeah. I mean, you know, there is the age gap thing. Like, you're looking at that going, Bradley Cooper's probably in his late 30s or early 40s, and she's 22 or whatever.
Is that all she is? Wow.
23, maybe?
Well, that's a Hollywood 23. We're not sure exactly. She's probably 26-ish.
Whatever, she looks 23.
Regardless, she's younger than Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, I mean, so it's that was a little more. I don't know. It's a good movie, and they're all good actors.
I'm going to say you're not going to be disappointed, but from what you guys are saying, I'd rather see those two gritty kind of things you took. Killing Me Softly and the Treat Williams thing.
Deadfall.
I mean, even though I haven't seen
it. No, this is good, and I think it should get and probably will get some Oscars. Someone's going to get nominated for something. David O. Russell's an excellent director. You know, it's good. It's worth seeing. It's not a grand slam. It's a good home run.
I'm just tired of charming assholes. he was an asshole, and she goes, come have sex with me.
Yeah.
So I get mad. Going,
nice guys finish last.
Yeah.
I've learned that the hard way. So, all right. Let's go into Fred.
Talk about not charming guys.
Let's talk about charming guys, Fred. You are a charming lady killer.
Now, this is very exciting, Fred. You actually have your movie is coming out December 18th.
Yeah,
Fred and Vinny.
It'll be on Amazon, even in what's it called? Target impulse items. And
tell us about the film.
Tell us about how it kind of came to be, and then tell us about the movie.
Okay, basically, I wrote a short story based on a true story. I had a friend, and you're from the Philly area.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was from Winona, New Jersey, near Philly. He during the comedy boom, he tried doing stand up, then became agoraphobic. Couldn't leave the place, but the happiest agoraphobic, where he lived vicariously through me. I describe him as the adoring parent I never had. I went to a video store or a post office, get out, and he loved hearing any story. Everything I did was an adventure. Then it was a mystery how he lived in attics for free, and people would bring him veggie burgers. And so then he wanted to come to LA to try to be an extra. I went, the guy that doesn't leave is coming to L.A.? And he thought he would alternate between me and other people. And then he came to stay with me. And it was almost like a love story where I couldn't wait to show him where these things happen. And again, it's sort of like those 90s Steve Buscemi movies, but it's a true story. So my friend who wrote on Raymond 9 years.
What's the name of the film, by the way?
Fred and Vinny.
Okay.
He wanted a – I did a short story. He said, we should make this into a movie. And he put the money up, and just a quirky little movie that we went to Slam Dance. We won the audience award at Austin Film Festival. So it's this little movie that, again, no charming guys in it. Just the thing that's funny is I'm playing myself, and people describe it as a movie about two pathetic people. And I thought I was playing the normal guy, the guy that, you know, he's a guy, the fattest vegetarian. He collects baseball cards. He lies on the floor.
Who plays Vinny?
This guy, Angelo Sarukis, if I'm saying it right. He came in. I didn't know he was a stand-up. And he one of these guys, I thought he was Vinny. He became more Vinny to me, just adoring every word I said, cracking up at little nuances. And so basically, I had to learn the film festival circuit, like making postcards, putting laurels on it, going to film festivals, buying the Chris Gore book, you know.
Yep.
you know, there's a thing, I forgot what it's called, Festival Genius, where you got to get it to the top. And so I'm not
without a box.
Yeah. Oh, man, I had to write summaries of it. And yeah. And
it's a full-time job.
It was. And you get it's funny, you get rejected a lot. Like when we got into Slam Dance, other film festivals would say, we'd love to see the movie. So then Florida Film Festival would send a rejection. You know, due to the, I didn't ask for your unsolicited rejection. You know, people came at us saying, we'd love to be in, you know, in the film festival. And they go, no, thank you. And but I had a lot of fun going to, like I said, with stand-up, places I never would go to, the Fargo Film Festival.
Those small-town festivals are actually great.
They're great. They're
so
great.
Appreciative. Yeah. I really enjoyed Carmel. I saw Clint Eastwood, and then he did a preview of, more Alzheimer's. The one that I didn't like, that movie, with JFK.
J. Edgar Hoover.
Yeah, he screened it there for a screening at Carmel. So it's going to be, again, this is not a gritty, you know, it's not going to have Treat Williams killing people with guns or bromance. High five, going to Vegas, dude. It's just, but it's just a real story about.
Just about the relationship between these two people.
Well, like I said, Vinny was the adoring parent I never had. And I couldn't wait to show him these little nuances of my life, which were true. Like, I went to this place, Mulberry Street Pizza, and the guy worked there asked me to sign the Wall of Fame. I went, you really? You see Al Pacino and James Gandolfini? Yeah, I saw you in this movie. I did it. They made me paint over it. Because then the owner goes, who the fuck is Fred Stoller? I go, I didn't ask to sign it. So he wanted to see, I want to see the pizza place. I want to see the Crown Bookstore where people line up in the morning to, you know, he wanted to take Mulberry Street Pizza. The pizza's good because the water comes in from New York. So he couldn't wait to every little stupid thing. He used to have a thing called the Fred tape where every sitcom I was on, he'd show it. Look at Fred on Amen wearing that funny hat. And so I couldn't wait to show him my wacky, boring life. And then he just came here and he was upset that people, Dom Herrera, weren't calling him back. And, you know, he wanted to be an extra, but he had every excuse to go, Vinny, I know how to be an extra. No, I got to find out. Mike from Vegas knows the best way. So it's a slow movie, but not slow and boring. It's just one of those character pieces.
And how was it, you know, to... Since you lived this and you obviously wrote the script, then to shoot it, what was that?
It was very surreal because all these things that happened with Vinny, this weird deja vu. Like, for example, I finally got him out of the house and took him to the movie Maid. And we're waiting, and Vince Vaughn, Jon Favreau, and Faison Love come out, and they say hi to me. He go, oh my God, man, only in L.A. You see a movie to 3 stars of it, come out. And, you know, so these little nuggets of life that cracked him up. So then we filmed it. We couldn't get celebrities, you know, on last minute. So I got Fred Willard and 2 made-up celebrities. And we were at the Egyptian filming it, and you see them approaching, and Vinny, and I go, again, it was just surreal, just reliving, again, these sad moments when I had to try to kick him out and fights we had and in my apartment. So,
what's your relationship with him now?
Spoiler.
Oh, spoiler. Okay.
Gotta see the movie, guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But let me just say.
Well, that means you grabbed my attention.
Yes.
Because now I want to know what happened with your relationship.
Yes. I'll tell you guys maybe if you want off, but it's kind of reliving the friendship, going through the you know, we had an estrangement and just the whole, again, it's hard to, maybe it was hard to sell the movie, but we finally got a distributor who really got it because what I always said is what makes people not commercial is going to make them love it and people find it. Like, it doesn't have the Hollywood stuff in it, but the people that love it are really, you know, blown away. A lot of people get mad by it because it hits a lot of stuff about isolation. My character, which is me, is writing a book of restaurants you don't feel self-conscious eating alone at. So, you know, and I go to LA and I write down the places. Oh, this is good. You know, you could sulk down in your booth. Don't go to this one on weekends. So a lot of people, it hits, like I said, chords about friendships, and people got mad at me. Why don't you just kick him out? I can't, because it's not black and white. He's not like a Tom Arnold guy burping and lying on. He was trying his best, but there's a lot of passive aggressiveness. And you know what I mean? So people either got blown away by it because it really hit them and it stays with you. Or, like, I'll plug it later, but my Seinfeld year, my Kindle single, people loved it. Or it hits some chord, they get mad. Like, you know, it hits something about parents or being, you know, this guy that never made it big, but they go, oh, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So
So the movie's Fred and Vinny. And
you know, there's an old saying that's, I got to bring this up because this is really pertains exactly to what you're saying. You know, we don't see things as they are. We see things as we are.
Yes.
You never know what baggage someone is bringing when they look at a piece of art.
And it hits notes of like...
It hits us all differently.
Like, I'll go to the other thing, but I had the Kindle...
So I look at every piece of art like it's a coconut water-filled samurai sword. Is that my problem?
But sometimes people review
things... No, that's your strength.
By what they would do in the situation or something. Like, I met this woman and she read the review or a little preview of my Seinfeld year. She goes, well, this is too depressing. Because I just told a little bit of my childhood. She goes, it reminds me of my mother. So, you know, if it hits a note, yeah. But that's what I like. It's a lot of uncomfortableness in this movie about me asking
like
a woman
show.
Out.
The show is typically
uncomfortable. Like right now. But you know what I'm saying? That uncomfortableness that you kind of don't want exposed about it's because it's real about me asking a woman out. This is a true story where I this woman, I said, she's a nanny, she's nurturing, she doesn't want to go corporate. I go, do you have a boyfriend? She goes, funny you should ask that. I just bit the bullet and asked Eric, this guy I work with, if he knows any single guys. I go, I'm single, you want to go out? She goes, I'd like to see what Eric comes up with. And that really happened. So it's those moments that you laugh, and people, it hurts their stomach, you know, because they feel bad for me.
Right.
So that's what gosh. The movie is.
It wasn't even a we'll see. It was more like...
No, it was a no.
It's like she doesn't even know what Eric's going to come up with, but that was a better prospect. That there's a potential...
Eric might have an ex-con.
Yeah, you don't know.
Don't know.
But it'd be fun.
Eric may drop the ball.
Yeah.
You might still be in play.
Or if you want, reserve this on your Netflix queue. They put it on, and once they get a whole amount, then Netflix will put it on the streaming.
All right, so it's Fred and Vinny. It's available at Amazon, Netflix.
And even Target.
And even Target.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Great.
And hopefully other stuff, yeah.
Awesome. Well, that's cool, dude. Thanks for telling us about that.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of DVDs, coming out on DVD is the Bourne Legacy. I saw this on the plane coming back from Australia. And, you know.
How many movies did you see coming back from Australia?
I probably saw two.
Wow.
I saw this other movie, Robot and Frank, with Frank Langella, which is a good little indie film.
Yeah, I heard that's good. I haven't seen it yet.
Bourne Legacy, you know, you saw it, Chris. I mean, it's. I guess if you saw the other Bournes and didn't get to see this one in the theater. I guess
no, I saw all the other Bournes. I didn't get a chance to see Legacy yet.
Oh, really?
But yeah, but I want to see it.
It's worth seeing. I mean, if you saw the other ones, you should see this.
Right.
You didn't need to rush out and see it in the theater, but it's fine. You know, I mean...
I'll Netflix it.
Yeah, Jeremy Renner's good, you know.
Did you know there was never just one?
Never. There's more than one.
It's a whole program.
Oh, program.
Yeah.
A robot program.
Yeah. And we have Ted...
Ted was funny. I mean, if you didn't see Ted in the theaters, definitely rent it. It's a, you know, it's a good comedy to rent.
Ice Age, Continental Drift. I guess they're still making money. They're still making these movies. And Mansum. Now, it seems like Morgan Spurlock comes out with a documentary every 6 months.
What is Mansum?
This is...
I thought it was going to be that Bill Murray, Wes Anderson movie. Isn't it similar
to
that?
No. It's the documentary that...
How handsome Charles Manson
Morgan
was.
Morgan Spurlock made about, you know, the perceptions of being a good-looking male.
Right. And yeah, that explores the question, in the age of manscaping, metrosexuals, and grooming products galore, what does it mean to be a man?
Huh? So, you know, it's, I'd actually like to see Morgan Spurlock do a few less documentaries and put a little...
be in a Treat Williams movie?
Yeah, yeah. Or just, but, you know, put a little more time and perhaps effort into, like, even that Comic-Con documentary. It was good, but it never did anything more than scratch the surface. It's when you look at his first documentary, Super Size Me, how unbelievably good that was and how biting and how satirical it was. It's like, go back to that. Let's see, you know, a little more purpose to the doc work. Because documentaries are a powerful medium.
Yeah.
You know, don't keep churning them out like they're... He's actually making popcorn documentaries.
Yeah.
He's Woody Allen.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the Woody Allen of documentaries.
People go, first drafts for Woody Allen.
Right.
And, all right, well, let's get to just premiering this week, what we have coming up.
All right, buddy.
I am so excited for this movie, The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey. Now, I do want to say we will not be reviewing this movie next week because we have a very special episode planned. You guys have been emailing and tweeting like you guys need to do another spoiler alert episode. So that's what we're going to do on January 1st, 2014. We're going to skip a year.
Yeah. It's a World Cup year, so we wanted to wait for the World Cup. So,
January 1st, we will be doing two episodes, a spoiler-free review and then a spoiler-full review with big fantasy nerd Jackie Cation,
yes,
who has been, he cannot wait for these three movies.
I think it's going to be...
And basically, Jackie and I will be yelling at Graham.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. It's going to be like, ew. When Mike Schmidt was trying to point out the holes in Dark Knight.
Oh my God, you started sweating.
I got mad. Like,
yeah,
I was
you got
cry.
Red-faced. And, got, yeah, you were like, that's like he was talking about your mother. Like,
that's what's going to happen to the Hobbit one, because I'm going to be like, well, it was kind of boring. And you guys like, are going
to
go,
what? We don't know what you're talking about. Yeah,
you're going to attack me.
So I'm looking forward to it.
So we're going
to
start the new year with a blood feud.
Yeah.
That's what we're
over
do.
Hobbits.
Over a Hobbit blood feud.
And now this is actually very good counter-programming, although it's limited. It may not be near you. This is Save the Date. This is kind of like a relationship comedy movie, but it has Lizzie Kaplan, who is literally delightful. I really like her. So it's about two sisters and their relationships, their dating relationships.
Alison Brie?
Alison Brie is in it too, yes.
Was she
the one that said, I'll see what he comes up with?
No, no, no. When she was very young, I guess starred a few episodes on Bob Saget at a show, Raising Dad. It was her as the daughter and, man, I'm bad with names. The other one who's on Two Broke Girls.
Oh, so also Lizzie Kaplan was at the podcast festival.
So they've really? Done really well.
That's right. She was on, what show was she on? Is it AV Club?
JV Club, yeah.
JV Club. Mm-hmm. AV Club.
Yeah. So sorry, what were you saying, Fred?
Something so uninteresting. I back in 2001.
This is the worst episode. We're the most forgetful.
Let's go on. I had a non-story, and I censored myself something else. So this isn't Mark Maron where you want to know sexual stuff. So I'm censored.
I really don't want to know about your sex life.
You don't want to know. It's not the gritty expose yourself show. No, gritty in other ways.
I think we should move on.
Yes.
No, this is let's stay down this uncomfortable.
You know, it's one thing to have an uncomfortable, awkward silence, but then to have an uncomfortable, awkward talking that just keeps going and into a circle.
Day. Yeah. I just saw when
it was like, so
I want to see what Eric comes back with.
Oh yeah,
that's what
I wonder. It'd be funny if I bumped into her because this is my husband Frank. Eric set us up.
Yeah,
we've been together 15 years.
Yeah,
I
Frank has a restraining anklet, but still better choice
and
than,
a lot of tattoos.
He's charming and bipolar and handsome and curses me.
Yeah, it says awful things to me, and I still love him.
I love him. I want to have sex with him immediately.
All the time. Anyone that yells at me, I think they're great.
They're great.
So do I.
All right, that's our show.
I got my plugs in.
Fred, now, yeah, we got your now your Amazon Kindle single
it's still
is still
there, $1.99. Two things to make you uncomfortable. No, it's funny. I learned not, you know, people love it or they get mad. It's called My Seinfeld Year. They go, I'd rather hear about someone more famous on Seinfeld. What's called My Seinfeld Year? It's only $1.99, and it's a quirky little mini memoir of what it was like.
A lot of people have bought it too, who have bought our book, so definitely our fans are buying it. Yeah. Because Amazon is like also bought by.
Oh, really?
You know,
yeah, yeah.
So it's coming up. They're coming up together a lot.
Yeah, I get Tina Fey and Rachel Dratch. Dratch, how do you say?
Dratch.
Yeah, so I'm in four of us together. Let's stick together. I think me, you, Tina Fey, and Rachel. I liked her book. Her book should have been called, actually, Someone Got Me Pregnant. That's what. Do you know her book?
Yeah, the one with the crazy hands.
Yeah, yeah.
She's got man hands on the cover.
No,
that's Tina Fey.
Oh, Rachel, who are you saying? Rachel Dratch?
She has a book. Basically, the premise is she has a baby. Okay. And we're not plugging that. I had a lot of fun. I felt that was part of things. That's why movies are great. You could go to a party and you could go, did you see this? And you could contribute.
Yeah.
Like, hey, The Walking Dead, I'm part of things. I could talk. Hey, what do you think of that guy?
I possess the ability to speak.
That's what Facebook is. Hey, I like Silver Lining. Well, fuck you.
Yeah. Unlike Block.
Yeah. But hey, thank you very much.
Sure thing.
Guys.
And the movie Fred and Vinny, check that out. Where can people reach you online?
Twitter, Fred_Stoller. Facebook, all that stuff.
You got a website?
You know, I got to call him. It was supposed to be launched for Fred and Vinny, but fredstoller.net. Fredstoller.com is taken by an old guy that shows pictures of his garden. And I think I'm going to have Brad Pitt kill him softly and get my website back. I'm very easy to find, and it was good seeing you at your podcast.
Yeah, thanks
festival.
For coming to that.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for coming.
I met some really nice people I never met.
It was cool.
We're getting ready for the next year. We haven't announced anything yet, but we're definitely working on it.
Yeah. Right around the same time.
Yeah, it'll be very remarkably
Maybe
similar.
First week
well,
in
I
October.
I crash that one. Yeah, I met Chris Gore, the crash guy, and a lot of fun people.
That was cool. Right on. Well, thank you so much, Fred Stoller, for being on the show. And check out his film, Fred and Vinny.
And we want to let you guys know, too, it's, you know, there's still a lot of time to do your Christmas shopping. And like we said, use the Kitten Hands coupon, and it will be 10% off anything in the store. We do ship internationally. It will take a little longer, but we are happy to do it. And also, if you order, let's say, you know, what is it, about the 20th, around there, that'll kind of be our cutoff, but we'll make sure we priority mail it if you get it in by the 20th. Even if you pay for the cheaper shipping, we'll take care of it. Make sure you get it by Christmas.
Yeah. So thanks a lot, you guys. We really appreciate it. And also, all the stuff, any way, you know, as we said, $20 once a year helps us out. And then just, you know, likes on the Facebook fan page, positive reviews on iTunes.
All of that helps.
All that stuff.
You know, a positive review of the book on Amazon to have other people find us. Everything helps. And, you know, if you want to just buy a premium episode for $1.99,
sure.
It all helps.
It all helps.
We appreciate it. And you guys have been so supportive, and we really do appreciate it over 138 episodes.
It's awesome that we're still doing this, and you guys are still down with it, what we're doing.
Unless you move to Australia.
Yeah, well, then we're going to have to Skype it.
Yeah. or Google Chat that we can't figure out.
I'm sorry. I'll try to figure that out. This weekend, December 15th, I'll be with Doug Benson at the Miami Improv Saturday doing a 420 show. Monday, the 17th, we're doing a show at the Fort Lauderdale Improv. And then I will be in Santa Barbara December 20th and at the Irvine Improv on December 27th. So check those out, and just added a show January 26th in Hawaii. And
hello.
So
I've never been there.
Gotta go.
Oh, it's great.
It is awesome. So mahalo to everybody out there in Oahu. Christopher,
gonna drink some pog.
Yeah, buddy. Whatever your weird thing is, yes. I had a kangaroo, did my chiropractic this morning. And yes,
well, you brought it back.
I brought back a kangaroo, and I'm going to drink Pog. Yeah. I don't even know what that is, but sure.
It's a Hawaiian drink.
Sure. I'm sure they drink it.
From 20 years ago.
From 20 years ago. Maybe 40. So, all right, that's our episode, right?
Yeah, very, very excited. We're, like we said, we're going to do a wrap-up of the year coming up, too, and we'll have Jackie Cation coming up. We got a lot of cool things planned for next year.
Yeah, and Christmas Day will just be Chris and I talking to a wrap-up, a year-end wrap-up.
Yeah, but to each other. We're not going to record it.
No, just, yeah. That's what we do every year.
Yeah.
We just, like, literally, we got to stop doing this.
Yeah.
Wrap it up. Stop it. Stop coming over to my house, Graham. Nobody wants you here.
Let me see what Eric comes up with.
Maybe Eric will find a better co-host than this mouthy bonehead, this kangaroo.
Just the prospect of something, maybe.
Something better.
Not you, Fred.
Not you.
Something other than you.
Thank you to our guest, Fred Stoller.
Thank you for having me.
And make sure you check out Fred and Vinny. It sounds great.
My name is Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.